in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight.
NBA free agency in full swing. Yesterday, the Bucks, after we talked in the morning about Bobby Portis being back in Milwaukee, Brook Lopez signs with the Clippers, ending his era with the Milwaukee Bucks. Before we move on to some of the other things that the Bucks did yesterday, which essentially feels like running it back, what is Brook Lopez's legacy in Milwaukee? Because I say, you know, it's not top tier, right? I don't think we're hanging a Brook Lopez jersey in the rafters at Fiserv Forum. But whatever that echelon directly below that is I think where Brook Lopez exists, fair or unfair.
They don't win a championship without Brook.
Yeah.
Giannis gets injured in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Brook goes out there in Game 5 and delivers a career high, scores 33 points in that game against the Hawks. They had zero answer for him. And if he doesn't step up the way he did, if obviously Chris doesn't step up the way he did throughout those postseason, like they needed those guys in those two games without Giannis, and Brook delivered. Like, without him doing that, who knows if they get to the NBA Finals? Who knows if they have a championship? Who knows if Giannis is still here? But they did, and they won the championship. So Brook is, I'm going to miss Brook. He was also a character. He was fun. He was entertaining. He was engaging. It was time, because he's in his late 30s at this point. It was time for the Bucks to move on. But, I mean, he is somebody that should always get a standing ovation from the crowd anytime he comes back.
How long was he here?
7 or 8 years?
2018.
Was he really?
Going back to a comp. I love doing it. Keith Jackson?
It's funny that you say that, Chu. I saw someone on Twitter, and I apologize, I don't remember who it was, but as I was reading through some of the reaction to the Brook Lopez signing with the Clippers news, I saw someone comp him to Gilbert Brown. Giannis is Favre. It must have been Middleton. Who would Middleton have been? Sterling? I don't even know who the other. But they said he was Gilbert Brown. Like it? Yes? No?
I think he was a step above.
Yeah, I do too.
Gilbert.
Yeah. I mean, they were both characters. Gilbert was a character. Lopez was kind of a character.
That's fun. At least it ended.
Damn it. Keep going.
She was like, I want to leave.
I want to go home.
Was that the fire alarm? Was that it? Sure was.
And yep. I don't think it's done.
It's just
flashing lights are gone.
Do you like Keith Jackson better than Gilbert?
It's so tough.
It's tough for an interior lineman because they're there to collapse the pocket. They don't get a lot of sacks. Don't get a lot of tack. They're just meat and potatoes of the defense. Brook was more than that.
Yeah, but he just like really redefined who he was in these last seven seasons.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, when he was good. People always go back to him being the leading scorer, right, in Nets history.
But he was, but not just that, in terms of, and he was back to the basket, never shot threes. But I mean, he had deep range, but the way he played defense for the Bucks, like making a second team all defensive team, being a candidate for the defensive player of the year, leading the league in blocks the way he did, like they weren't able to do the things that Mike Budenholzer would want to do without Brook Lopez. Like Keith was nice. How important was he for you guys winning
the Super Bowl?
Yeah. If you take Keith off,
he was big. Oh, he,
if you take Keith off, are you winning? Because the Bucks are not winning without Brook.
I mean, the two tight end set, people didn't know how to defend it, you know, and it was a luxury. Maybe because Keith wasn't here as long as Brook was here, but football's different. That's a good question. Good question.
Didn't you ask it?
No, whether we win a Super Bowl without
Keith. Oh, okay.
You know? The comp question.
I was like, all right, pat yourself on the back a little more, but no, obviously, I understand what you're saying. Second in franchise history in block shots, third in blocks per game, fourth in three-pointers made at it and attempted, and to Gabe's point, there aren't a lot of guys who want to reinvent themselves, who are willing to evolve for what the team they're on need. Like, this is who I am, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit type of thing, but that was never Brook. And so whatever the team needed, and I think people recognize that he has gotten older and that he is not the same player he once was. Good on him for landing this deal with the Clippers, but there was a tinge of sadness because I saw a picture yesterday of Giannis and Chris and Drew and Brooke celebrating the championship, a picture of the four of them, and it was like, wow, now Giannis is the only one left. And that wasn't that long ago, the 2021 season. So again, now that's about change. Let's talk about what has stayed the same, which is everybody else, apparently. So yesterday, you also probably saw that the Bucks did lock up some of the younger players, Kevin Porter Jr., Taurean Prince, and Gary Trent Jr., all to really, I can't think of any other way to say this, Gabe, team-friendly deals.
Fantastic deals.
This is very, very good for the Bucks from a money standpoint.
Well, and what it did, by signing those three guys, I understand, you're probably not going to be excited about those three, but they all can play a specific role for the Bucks next year. But in order to sign a couple of those guys, if you're unaware of the complexities of the NBA salary cap, the Bucks have something at their disposal called the mid-level exception.
Which, by the way, I just want to pause for 1 second. Eric Name does a great job on The Athletic of detailing the Bucks' financial situation. I had to read it last night no less than 4 times.
Yeah, it gets complicated
my
fast.
My eyes glazed over, and I was like, focus, Jen. And then I have to go back to the paragraph I had just read, and then I took some notes next in the margins, because, Gabe, it is complicated trying to understand why teams do what they do from a money standpoint, from a luxury tax standpoint, from an apron standpoint. So do me a favor and try to explain it as best you can.
So basically, again, they have something available to them called the mid-level exception. They didn't have to dip into that. They thought they were going to have to dip into that. They've got $14.1 million. It doesn't have to just be for one player. You can split that up over a couple of contracts. They thought they were going to have to dip into that in order to re-sign one, maybe two of these guys. They didn't have to do that. They used other exemptions. They were able to do other things to get those guys under contract. So now they still have $14.1 million that they have at their disposal that they can use this offseason. So, yes, it's not, you know, you're going, oh, why are they just running it back? They're not. This was step one. They have these younger players that they brought back. Taurean Prince is the only one who's not young-ish. He's 31, but was right. One of the top two guys in the NBA in terms of three-point percentage, and that's what you always want to do is surround Giannis with shooters. So now you've got this other chunk of money that you can use to go out and improve the team to try to get somebody else alongside the guys you brought back.
But who are you worried about going to Detroit to replace
Gary Trent.
Beasley?
And he's not.
He's not. Sticking around.
No, I know, but I mean, Beasley was going to get 4 year, 40-something million, and he gets, what, two for 7.5?
Detroit wouldn't have been able to give him the $42 million because, again, complexity is the NBA. You can always pay your guys more. You can go over certain thresholds if it's your guy and you have these certain rights. And Gary decided that, hey, it's worth it. Now, a lot of these deals are actually, they're two-year deals, but they have options on the back end. More people are going to have money next year. So these guys are potentially going, hey, I'm going to keep an eye out for next year. I ball out this year. More teams are going to have money. Maybe I can get paid somewhere else next season.
Well, and what an opportunity for Trent Jr. because obviously the Damian Lillard injury and just being able to be on the court, I feel like we will continue to see a progression from him and evolution from him. But then it brings up the next thing because you just mentioned the money that is now available. Who is out there? Because I swear to God, if I see one more person link the Bucks or speculate about the Bucks' interest in Ayton, I will lose my bleep. That's a player I don't want anything to do with. And I understand that the market for big men is thin right now, but that's a guy that when he's out there on the court, it doesn't even look like he wants to be there. There's an effort issue there, and there has been at every stage of his career.
I don't know where he fits in the league anymore, much less on the Bucks. Like, he's unplayable with Giannis. He can't shoot. Doesn't really do much. Doesn't play great defense. So there's, I mean, other than being tall and athletic, when he doesn't always use that athleticism.
When he wants to be.
Yeah. I don't know what he brings. Like, you can't play him a bunch of minutes with Giannis because Giannis is going to be handling the ball more this upcoming season. And having a guy like that is just going to clog up the paint. It's not what you want.
So just hold on to the cash, right?
I mean, you want to use that to go out and get somebody, preferably.
But if there's no one there, then the hell.
Yeah, I mean, The biggest name that's still out there, and I can't believe Indiana hasn't gotten anything done with him, is Miles Turner, mm-hmm. who's an unrestricted free agent. I mean, it makes the most sense. He can make the most money there. Nobody has any salary cap room. I don't know why the Pacers haven't gotten that deal done. And I'm assuming everybody thinks that deal's going to get done, but it just hasn't yet. That's the big name that's still out there. But again, you're using that $14.1 million to try to improve on the margin.
So then how does this situation that they currently are in affect the Bucks draft pick, Bogoljub Markovic? Because he's a 6'11 guy. He's rail thin. I mean, he reminds me of Giannis when he first started. And even Giannis might have been smaller by comparison, just from a skinny standpoint. Is he a guy that they could use? Again, I know the NBA is positionless at this point, but when you talk about needing size inside, is that a direction that they could maybe go?
If you're talking about potentially stashing him in Europe, we don't know if we're going to stash him in Europe or if he's going to be on the team. To me, even if you have him on the team, he's somebody who's not going to be contributing on a nightly
basis.
He's
a project.
Yeah, he's a project. He's not going to be contributing night in and night out. Maybe he gets some minutes every now and then, but he's not somebody that you're going to be counting on to provide you with a lot of minutes.
So you feel better today than you did yesterday?
I do. Now, it depends upon what they do with this $14.1 million. Because to get those guys and still have this space, that's some great work by John Horst. But now you've given yourself this $14.1 million to use. How do you use it is the next big step. Having these guys come back is a great first step, but now you have to complete it. It's not completely done. Mm-hmm. You got to go out and use that $14.1 million, whether it's creatively, whether it's on one guy, however it is, you got to use that and make that money count in terms of trying to build this team.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Get us your thoughts on what the Bucks have done and what you hope they will do on our Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. I wonder if anyone else feels as strongly about Ayton as I do. And again, it's not like the Bucks have said that they're interested in him, but it's like fans out there who are throwing, because again, we talk about a big man adding size inside, and he seems to be one of the candidates, and I'm like, ugh, I shudder to think about a guy like that who clearly there's an effort issue on all the clips that you watch on film. And I just can't imagine him being a good fit for the Milwaukee Bucks. We will take a break. Be right back after this. Gabe?
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Mentality, local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, if you're tired, groggy, and kind of have a couple of those, you just don't feel like yourself. Those are signs of low testosterone. Me, initially, I just kind of dismissed those until I started working with Mentality. Oh, those are signs that my testosterone are low. I found out my testosterone was low. I now have a customized testosterone treatment plan just for me. I check in with them every 12, 13 weeks, something like that, and make sure that the testosterone levels are exactly where they need to be. And if they need to adjust what my treatment plan is. That's what's great about Mentality. It's not like, oh, yeah, your testosterone levels are low. No, they're going to work with you throughout the process to make sure that you feel and perform at your very best. Find out more. Go to the website, lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments, lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie.
You don't know how to
Ernie,
do it. And I don't know
does
how
it
to
ever?
It, so.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Home is a journey. Look, sometimes it's quick and sometimes you have to be patient, but it should always be exciting. And that's why we've partnered with the We Sell Group at Keller Williams, because they understand the process. It's not just about closing deals. They're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit for you and your family. Rob and Nick have been incredibly patient with us as we continue on our journey. And they are passionate about people. Whether you're ready to move right now or just starting to look or even thinking about selling your home, the WeSell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Go to wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com to find out for yourselves.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All righty, we're going to keep it rolling since we've had a lot of Bucks talks. We'll kind of copy last week's list with the pack, the top 10. Since there's not as many players and you guys know all the names, give me the top 10 Bucks all time, and you only get 13 to get 10.
Oh, we got to get all 10.
All 10.
Top 10 Bucks all time? Just
greatest Bucks of all time.
Okay, so we should Kareem.
Kareem is numero uno.
Giannis.
No. Retired. No longer playing.
So it's not the greatest Bucks of all time.
Well.
Just so you know, I thought he was being sarcastic at first.
Yeah.
Like he was like, no, he's not. And then.
Got to be retired.
Okay.
What?
Well, I mean, it's not the way.
You still should get them all.
It's not the way the list worked last week.
Yes, it did.
Aaron Rodgers is retired?
Well, from the Packers, he is.
There's a lot of nuance here that's giving you trouble, huh?
Hey, it's me. It's me.
What do you expect type
you
of thing?
Only,
oh,
okay. Yeah.
Goodness.
All right, here we go. You got one.
So I will go Ray Allen.
Ray Allen, number seven.
Well, Marcus Johnson?
Marsqueeze, number five.
Big O.
The Big O, number two.
Wait, I saw Oscar Robertson in the news recently. I have to look up what that was for. Just flew past my, when I was scrolling on social, I'll have to look up what that was for. Bob Dandridge.
See, I didn't think you'd get that one.
Well, Raptors, right? Isn't he a Raptor guy?
Yeah.
Number four.
Okay, let's think about other guys from the 80s. What if we go with Sidney Moncrief? Mm-hmm.
Sidney Moncrief, number three.
Johnny McLaughlin is definitely on this list.
Johnny McLaughlin is not on the list. There's your first strike.
Thought that'd be tough. That'd be tough for him to get there.
First strike.
Not happy about that, not going to lie.
Brian Winter?
That's two down.
He's also not on
the list. He's missing some solids.
Wait, hold on. Can you reset who we have?
Kareem one.
Uh-huh.
The Big O two.
Uh-huh.
Sidney Moncrief, three. Uh-huh. Bobby Dandridge, four. Marsqueeze Johnson, five.
Okay, so we've got one through five.
Ray Allen, yeah, seven.
Why are you trying to make me feel like we're doing a terrible job? So we need 6, 8, 9,
you got
10.
One to go, too. One strike.
Oh,
so.
We only get three strikes, you're out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a basketball list. We should have got five or six.
Not as many players.
That have ever played for the Bucks?
Correct.
I don't know. Would like a Terry Cummings be on the list? Would
Terry
like
a, Cummings.
He's got a chance.
Six.
Oh, there you go. Thank you for taking that as a guess. I was.
So you got 8, 9, 10. You got one real tough. Tough. Tough.
Gabe,
I'm trying to think of.
Would Michael Redd be on the list? Or is
I
he
can't
not-
imagine.
If Michael Redd's on the list above like Vin Baker, but I can't imagine Vin Baker's on the list. Because Vin at least went to three All-Star games. I think we've guessed all the retired numbers. A couple of the retired numbers aren't even up there.
You don't think Vin Baker's on the list?
I'll throw Vin out there.
But Vin is not on the list.
All right.
It's all right.
You guys are missing a Big Dog?
Okay. Glenn Robinson?
How do you miss Big Dog?
Because Vin Baker's better?
And also they stunk during those
years.
No,
they didn't. They were great.
Okay, you're right.
George Carl. He was part of the Ray Allen crew.
Yes.
Quinn Buckner?
Never heard of the name.
Quinn Buckner played for the Celtics.
Okay.
This is a Bucks list. You dip bleep.
Quinn Buckner was legit.
Quinn Buckner?
Miller Lite, Big Feet.
Quinn Buckner is ahead of Vin Baker.
Vin Baker was
a three-time All-Star.
So was I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But guess what's harder to do?
I'm nowhere near the top.
Be an NBA All-Star. Yeah.
Josh, Miller Lite, Big Feet.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay, go back to bed. Glad we're going to have Will tomorrow. Because Will would get it.
Will would get it?
Yes.
Did the 22-year-old?
See, yeah, here's your problem
Quinn
right here.
When did Quinn Buckner play in the late 70s?
Here's your problem.
Okay.
You have age bias. You don't think the world was around before 1990.
Kareem Sidney Moncrief?
Yeah.
And
those are layups.
Guess Brian Winter, who has his number retired? You're telling me Quinn Buckner's better than Brian Winter? Get the bleep out of here.
Frank got called that a lot. It was hilarious. You want to hear a good story? All right, the last guy, Bob Lanier.
Bob Lanier, I maybe should
have. So listen to this. Frank would always be insecure. Frankie Winters, 52, number one in your heart.
Time out. I just want to pull the curtain back a smidge, okay? In one of our reviews, more than a year ago, someone said to Chew, hey, when you mention Frankie, for the audience that might not know who Frankie Bag of Donuts is, just give him a little reminder, you know? So every time now.
Which you shouldn't have to.
Well, literally.
Because he's a legend.
But all you have to do is say his last name. You don't have to give the entire bio. A lot of times you just call him Frank.
Well, I didn't like when Evan said that to me, so I had to snap back at him because he has attitude, okay?
And that's the thing.
And you don't.
Now, whenever you do it, there's a little thing in your brain that goes, brrr, and you go, 52, former backer.
But it's not every time.
So Frank had an insecurity problem when he'd certainly hang out with Brett, but when he hung out with me and Brett, get no attention, right? So we're out with our buddies in Cudahy. We loved Cudahy. We'd always go to Cudahy, you know? So we're in Cudahy. It's like four of our buddies. We're at a little dive place.
Isn't that all they have in Cudahy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Right by Laddish. So it's me, Frank, and Brett. And this guy comes over to Frank. And he's like, I know you. And Frank starts the peacock.
Oh, yeah. Chest gets up, a little, yep.
Right? Chest is up. He's delaying the guy saying who he was just to kind of stick it to me and Brett. I know you. Yeah, I know. Your sister lives on Squire. We fell over. I've never seen a 320-pound guy shrink so small. He was so mad. So, but he would always get called Brian Winters. And it would set him off. Yeah.
But
no respect.
What's the connection? Why would they call him that?
I have no idea. How tall is Brian Winters?
I mean, he was probably like, what 6'8"?
What's the connection? Their names.
Frank? Brian?
Winters?
Oh, God. Winters. Thank you.
Whoa. Are you sure? Oh, it was gummies last night. Gotcha. Okay.
What's the connection? Oh, okay.
What the hell is going on here?
Brian Winters. Brian Winters.
I didn't think I wasn't going to chime in because I thought I was missing something.
Yeah, so did I.
Turns out I was the one missing something.
What the hell's going on out there?
I thought maybe they looked similar, and that's why people called him that.
Nope, just the same last name.
No, just literally the same last name.
Which makes a lot more sense.
I wonder if his sister lives on Squire.
I was trying to find out what Brian Winters looked like as far as if he was similar to Frank Winters, but
nope.
It turns out the...
Not at all.
No,
similar.
I mean...
Let me see.
How many...
That's Brian Winters.
No, not at all. I love the stash.
Yeah,
though.
Stash is great.
In this picture, he has a beard also. Does he have a beard also in your pictures or not so much? All right.
I'm trying to think of the possible NBA players in history that would look like Frankie.
Well, Frankie now?
Well, at any point, Frankie.
Hasn't Frank gotten pretty slim? Hasn't he gotten?
What's your definition of slim? Because it's clearly not the same as mine. Although Frank looks good at 61. For him.
You know what? I could see the wheels in your head spinning there. You were like, do I give my pal a compliment? Yeah. Do I let her think? Or do I just ride with the truth?
No one would believe it.
We'll take a break. That was an all-time power rankings by you, sir. We'll take
You're
a
welcome.
Break. Roll on right after this.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. Southeastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area. And coming to the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District. Have beverage needs for that upcoming party? Neat Beverage Catering offers mobile bartending to elevate the event. And last, but certainly not least, check out the stunning riverfront bar inside Associated Bank River Center Vault, a perfect summer spot before a night on the town or even a ball game. Featuring new happy hour specials, a menu with tremendous flatbread, and my favorite part, the raw bar. And of course, you also get an incredible view of the Milwaukee River.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The Milwaukee Brewers beginning a series against the Mets today, not yesterday, Jen, as we thought as we were popping onto the patio to watch a little baseball last night. And they are one game back of the Mets right now in the wild card standings for anybody who likes to look at the early, early standings, still not even at the All-Star break. Two games back of the Cubs in the division. The Brewers have been red hot. We have told you about how well they've done over the last month. And if you're looking for the exact opposite of that, well, it's the Mets. They have been struggling. Really struggling, actually. And I was a little bit shocked this morning as I was looking at the power rankings from The Athletic. I know ESPN puts out power rankings as well, but the Mets still several slots above the Brewers right now in The Athletic's power rankings, even though they have been in essentially a free fall. What is your optimism level for this series? You got Freddie on the hill tonight. You got the Miz on the hill tomorrow, Gabe.
Yeah, anytime you have those two guys going, even if you're going on the road against a quality opponent, and yes, the Mets have been bad, over the last, you know, 3-4 weeks at this point. Chewy, you were talking about how bad the Pirates are and you wanted to discount Miz. They just outscored the Mets 30-4 in a three-game series.
Wow. That's not good.
Just kicked the crap. The Mets decided it was so bad after Saturday night when they lost their second game to the Pirates, they decided to have a team meeting. Then they lost 12-1.
Well, they're gaining ground. What
lost
is
12-1?
What's up with Woodruff? Because that lineup will be. I mean, if Woodruff's 90% of what he was, that's three good arms.
So he was good in his latest rehab start.
Although, did you hear there was a delay? Like, the guy hasn't waited long enough, right, to wrap up his rehab start. So, obviously, he's had several injuries. There was a 90-minute rain delay. But yes, Gabe, to your point, he did go out there and do well.
Anticipated to make his season debut later in the road trip. So, they're playing the Mets now, and then the road trip will continue in Miami against the Marlins at some point against the Marlins.
And I think I saw in an Adam McAlvey article, Chew, you talk about full circle. The last start that Brandon Woodruff made was actually against the Marlins 2023, which feels like an eon ago. Yeah. Well, oh yeah, it was. You know, this guy has been a long road back. But to your point, yes, the hope is that he will rejoin the rotation within the next few weeks. So are you optimism is high facing this Mets team that seems to be reeling, or are you concerned that they might find their stroke again against the Brewers?
No, I mean, look, again, you're going to go through ups and downs, as Chewy likes to say, throughout the course of a baseball season. It's still a talented team, but when you have Peralta and Miz going in any three-game series, like, my optimism's high that you should be able to go in there and win that series. Win 2 out of 3 with those two guys in the mound, the way the Brewers have been swinging the bats. You're hoping that that continues for them. They are playing better baseball, and they've got better pitchers on the mound over the course of the three-game series.
Yeah, when a team's down, step on the throat. Let them get hot the next series.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them get hot this series.
Which is what happened with the Cardinals after the Brewers beat them up.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's a long season. It's fine.
You know what's interesting is somebody in the YouTube stream, Jeff said, being in New York, the Miz is going to get maximum media attention. It's an interesting point by him because we have seen the Miz handle a lot of attention, right? Obviously, he made his debut. There was that middle start in there. Then, obviously, this last start he made was him versus Skeens, sellout crowd at AmFam Field, all eyes of the baseball world on that Wednesday afternoon game. And then there is the element of New York going on the road. Like, he has all of these milestones to sort of, these checkpoints to sort of click through. This is another one. You know, you're going into an environment where the team is reeling on the road, but everything we have seen from this young kid so far shows that he's got the demeanor, he's got the makeup to be able to handle all of the attention, and when he struggles, all of the scrutiny that goes along with that.
And I think that's where Pat Murphy comes into play, because before the sellout game, again, random Wednesday at AmFam Field, he told him, hey, this isn't the Miz show. Like, hey, this is, you've got to go out there and perform, but this there's bigger things going on than just you out there pitching. We got to win as a team. So I think Murph is just really well equipped at handling things like this and helping him navigate all the different landmines and pitfalls that can come with the hot start that he's had.
Do they hit a wall? Baseball player, rookie baseball players, like NFL players do?
Pitchers, though, every 5 days? Starting pitchers,
well, but the problem is, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this, I don't know what his innings limit is.
For the season.
For the season. So that's the only thing I'm questioning, and I don't know what the answer is for Mizorowski.
I assume it's fluid. I assume there are guidelines, but I can't imagine right now it's hard and fast.
I mean, you never know with these guys. I mean, there have been players that have been shut down, even though their teams have been in the middle of pennant races at the end of seasons, because, hey, it's more important for him to stay healthy. And he threw a career-high 97 innings last year.
What is his pitch count? 100?
Typically, they haven't really... The most he's ever thrown in a game, I think, is like 103 or 104.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really let him get that close to that. You know, the fact they took him out in the fifth inning in the game last Wednesday was a little surprising, but they had said, oh, we were only going to let him go like 80 pitches that game. So it kind of depends upon the day. And really, now more than anything, teams are more cognizant of what the inning count is. How long are you going to be out there? How many innings are you logging? And for Jacob Mizorowski, that is, okay, how long is he going to be able to keep this up? How long is he going to be able to pitch into the postseason? Are they going to allow him to do that? How far are they willing to stretch out his arm this year?
I do love what the write-up said, and I told you that I was looking at the Athletic power rankings. They had the Mets as 7, I believe. Yep, 7. By the way, they have almost the exact record as the Brewers at this time. Brewers are tied for 11th with the Cardinals, which again feels like they're not being given enough credit. It feels like they are. And here's what it says, guys. So hear me out. Mom, they're doing it again. We do this every year with the Brewers. They lose a star player, a manager, a front office executive, and we think, well, that's going to be the load-bearing wall that brings the whole thing down. Then every September, we look up, and this Frankenstein monster of cast-offs and hole pluggers is standing on the boat, bound for October, waving at those teams whose well-laid plans simply did not pan out. The Brewers went 16-9 in June. That's the best record in June for the entire National League, trailing only the Astros, who went 19-7. At some point, it should cease to be surprising, and yet I'm still pleasantly mystified every time the Brewers do this.
I don't know about cast-offs. They're young.
Yeah, but you've got like Rhys Hoskins is on this team. He was a cast-off.
Every team has a Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, but I mean, Quinn Priester is young. The Red Sox basically just gave up on him.
Yeah.
So here you go.
And the Brewers love him.
Yeah, and the Brewers have absolutely loved him. So even some of the young guys that they have, you know, I mean, Jose Quintana.
Yeah.
He was an opening day starter a year ago, and he was a late signing for the Brewers for $4 million.
Yeah.
And he has obviously been incredibly serviceable. You could even argue better than serviceable. So let's talk about that starting rotation before we stop here, because when Woodruff comes back, somebody is getting booted. You just mentioned they like Priester. Who's the odd man out?
Oh, it's Chad Patrick. And Chad's pitched well, but sorry, bud. You haven't pitched like Peralta or Mizorowski or Quintana or Priester. Chances are you're going to get another opportunity at some point because injuries happen throughout the course of the season.
So what just are they doing?
He'll just be a long guy out of the bullpen, or okay, they'll just send him down to AAA because they like who they have in the bullpen.
Okay.
Starting pitching, they've had so many starting pitchers this year. It's now we're starting to see why they felt it was a strength at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, God, they had so many damn injuries at the beginning of the season. Now everybody's finally starting to get healthy. And, oh, by the way, Nestor Cortez is still down there. And he's going to be lingering, probably coming back sometime after the All-Star break.
So when do you start eyeing the trade deadline? Which is what? Not even a month away.
Right? End of the month.
End of the month.
So after the All-Star break, I think you start eyeing that up. The problem is I don't know who would be interested. Like, I've had buddies go, oh man, what if they flip Quintana and get a bat? Who's going to want Quintana in terms of teams that are out of it? Like, do you think the Chicago White Sox are going to flip any one of their decent players that they have for a year left of Jose Quintana?
Why do I feel like Quintana was on the White Sox at one point, right?
In his probably, journey, yeah.
He's been around a lot of places. Yeah, he feels like somebody who might have been around the block. Chewy, what do they need to be in order for them to be buyers at the deadline? I mean, is it enough to be neck and neck with the Cubs? So, yeah, where they are right now, two games back in the division, and you're going, okay, make a push here. Because I got to be honest with you, just like that write-up said in The Athletic, I think there is this sentiment that, like, anything the Brewers do this year is sort of great, sort of gravy, right? Because there was all this talk about how it was going to be tough to cobble together a roster that was going to be able to compete. And yet again, here we are in June with them two games back.
I think we need to stop doing that, though. You know,
don't preach to the choir, man.
I think they should just stop doing that. The fans, like, have in Brewers, we trust. They've done it for years now. They're competitive. You know, there's always questions at the end of the season and money issues and Ananasia's not. Let's just let them lie. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and let's trust them.
Yeah, and that what they have to do before the trade deadline, because a bat is something that they probably need. I don't know if that bat necessarily exists out there as we sit here right now. But also you thought, oh, third base. Well, I mean, Durbin's been fantastic at third base, playing great defense. He's been hitting the cover off the ball over the last month. Okay, maybe an outfielder, and you make Isaac Collins this kind of fourth outfielder if you can find a good outfield bat.
Maybe just leave it alone.
You have to decide, are these just hot streaks, or can these guys sustain this for the rest of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think they can sustain it, I don't know if you're going to find something better in the trade market, because so many teams are convincing themselves that they have a chance, that they've got an opportunity to still make the playoffs because of the extra playoff spots that are available now in baseball.
Brewers and Mets tonight, 6-10. Peralta versus Holmes, going to be exciting again. Just four series left before that All-Star break. Brewers have been really good at winning series. Obviously, we have talked about their success in June. Let's hope they turn the page to July and can keep it up.
6-10 tonight, Jen. Anything before that's just a replay.
Yeah. Thank you for telling me. Yes.
So 6-10 first pitch. You happen to flip on, you know, FanDuel at like 4 o'clock. They didn't start early.
Look at my guys looking out for me. Hey, speaking of looking out for me, the folks over at the WeSell Group at Keller Williams have been looking out for me as well as we continue a home journey. Yes, that's right. Rob and Nick have been incredibly patient with us, informative, available. I get their listings every single day, get to scroll through them at my leisure. And then when there's something that piques my interest, I send it over and say, hey, let's go on the next step at this one. Let's take a look at this property. They will do the same for you guys. If you're starting to look or you're thinking about selling your home, the WeSell Group will be on the journey with you like they are with me and my family every step of the way. You can start your journey today at WeSell.kw.com. That's WeSell.kw.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it exceeds. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping.
All right,
can
we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Lot of things this morning on the Carbless talk and text line. I do love Chef Ed, who reminded us that the fire alarm went off because today's show was on fire.
Oh, it's very nice of Chef Ed.
A dad joke from Chef Ed in the morning. Dave from Aaron saying it's like the Sandlot when the kids start disappearing at the end, in reference to the picture of Giannis and Drew and Chris Middleton and, of course, Brooke Lopez. Those three gentlemen now in other places, no longer on the Milwaukee Bucks, but as always, will be part of the championship lore here in Milwaukee. Pretty clear these guys love being here and being with Giannis. They all could have gotten more. Next up, we need some sort of athletic big man. That, of course, in reference to the moves that the Bucks announced yesterday. Kevin Porter Jr., Torian Prince, and Gary Trent Jr., all with two-year deals for very team-friendly. Gabe, this whole idea of an athletic big man, it makes sense. I get it, especially with Brooke Lopez leaving, but are there even a lot of options out there?
No, there aren't. That's the problem.
Can we stack a bunch of kids up in a trench coat and create a big man that would play for something the Bucks have at the facility? And again, I'm trying to think of outside the box here.
Yeah, that's and they're going to want another big. They need another big just to help out Giannis, because you don't want his body wearing down having to defend centers all season long, especially if he's going to be taking over the point guard duties.
I don't think that Giannis wants to. I don't think he wants to.
No, he has been very, very open about not wanting a lot of center minutes. He's been very open over his career, which is why he's always been a big fan of Brooke.
And again, to your point about playing the long game, that's probably a smart move by Giannis, because the more physical hits you're taking inside, and you see the scratches on his arms, and you see how guys are trying to defend Giannis and stop him, he understands that that's going to take years off his career. That wear and tear is going to affect him, particularly at the end of a season, Chu, where we have, you know, been clamoring and wanting Giannis to be the most available, the most healthy. It's a bit of a crapshoot because, well, the NBA is a physical league, but I understand that mentality from Giannis, not wanting to be the big guy in there banging around.
Well, it'll be interesting how they approach this year because it's really not about this upcoming season, right? It's really not.
Is it, though? So, like, there's a part of me, Gabe, that saw these moves and was like, oh, maybe they are going for it, essentially, with these guys.
It's still, I mean, it's still really hard to go for it with a 30-year salary cap tied up in Damian Lillard, and he's not going to play. It's just really hard to compete. It's about getting younger guys around Giannis, trying to establish the chemistry, especially with somebody like Kevin Porter Jr., who's acquired at the trade deadline, get that chemistry to a place where you feel really good. That way, you can try to flip that Damian Lillard contract next summer for something that you can pair next
to. And load manage Giannis this year. He's not going to like it, but load manage him, right? He doesn't need to put the team on his shoulder and carry it, especially when the chances of them winning.
He doesn't know any.
No, I know, but you got to kind of protect him from himself.
I think there's a Thanalysis Live happening today in Greece with all four of the Antetokounmpo brothers as well. So that's a big event that we're.
I love Greece.
Like Bacon Grease?
That,
the musical. Oh. Chewy's big musical
guy.
Yes,
I am.
Will the Italians next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.